Well, we'll go back to Proverbs tonight, and let's go to chapter 11. We'll look at a couple of verses here in Proverbs chapter 11. Tonight's subject, and I'm not necessarily just picking these for any particular reason because of any problem. I'm just picking them because it basically falls next in the alphabet, all right? And it is in the book of Proverbs. So I hope that you'll keep that in mind. Tonight's message is on tail-bearing. Now you know why I introduced it that way. Tail-bearing. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. We're going to look at two or three different verses here. But verse 13 covers this subject. And that's the way the book of Proverbs is. You go from one subject to another. And then in and out of the whole book, the thoughts along those lines are woven in and out about a particular subject. And tail-bearing is one of those subjects. And so he says in verse 13, a tail-bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Let me read that one more time. A tail-bearer, and by the way, that's the Hebrew word rawkel, R-A-W-E, would pronounce it R-A-W-K-E-E-L, rawkel. And it means somebody who travels about slandering and talking. That's the straight meaning of the original word, rawkel. Somebody who goes around, who does traveling, who sort of makes it their business to move about, move around, and be a talebearer. Now, in chapter 17, verse 9, look there just a second. There are many of these verses. But here is one that falls into that category, Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And of course the context is being a slanderer or a talebearer. Chapter 18 and verse 8. The Proverbs say, the words of a talebearer, or whisper would even be another way of saying that, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. I think we begin to get the idea of what he's talking about, and we'll leave off on those verses there. But you can tell in the context of what God is saying that being a talebearer is not good. It's a bad thing. It's a thing that is a sin. It's a thing that God does not appreciate, God does not like, and he covers it clearly in his word that we should not be talebearers. Now, there's an old, what would be called a Talmudic legend, where a king sent his jester out. A jester was an entertainer in the king's palace. That was part of his business, and to do whatever the king told him to do. And the king said, I want you to go out and find for me, buy the best thing in the world, the very best thing in the world. So 2 weeks later, he came back with a human tongue that he had purchased. And he said to him, this is the best thing in the world, the human tongue. The king said, now I want you to go find the worst thing in the world. And 1 week later, he came back with another human tongue. And the idea was that the tongue can either be the best thing in the world or it can be the worst thing in the world. Now, James says something about that, doesn't he? He covers a lot of the problems of what a tongue can do. It can poison. It can start a fire. It can do all of those different things. And so the jester said, this, Your Majesty, is the best or the worst thing in the world, depending on how you use it. And that's true, isn't it? It's how we use our tongues. We can use our tongues to be a talebearer. We can use our tongues to praise, to sing, to witness, to encourage, to build people up, to edify them, or we can use them in a negative way. Someone has well said this, great minds discuss ideas, Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And little minds discuss people. Amen? One amen. Thank you. The reason for tale-bearing. Why do people do that? Yes, Christian people. Yes, fundamental Baptist Christian people. Why do people tale-bear? Why do they spread these things around that God says are not necessary and He's against? Well, obviously, the one behind it is Satan. The reason people do that is they let the devil control them. And they yield to him when he tempts them to be a tale-bearer. Just like any other temptation in life, the devil is behind it. Now, we can't blame him because he's only the tempter. We're the ones that have to yield to it or say no to it. But he is the one behind it. A lot of times I think jealousy is behind the tale-bearer. There are people who are jealous of what other people have or their position or what they get to do. And because they are jealous, for whatever reasons it may be, they become talebearers and they try to destroy some of those people out of sheer jealousy. And you could think of many, many illustrations that would run through your mind very quickly. But jealousy, I'm convinced, is one of the reasons that people are talebearers or people who travel about slandering and saying unnecessary and negative and bad things about other people. In some cases, it's more than jealousy, it's just hatred. People decide they hate somebody, and they cross them, and they do something they didn't like. They hurt somebody's feelings in their family or somebody that was close to them or whatever it may be. And they really absolutely hate the people. And because of that animosity and that hatred, maybe hating a relative or hating a boss or hating somebody, they hate them so much that they go around as talebearers and spread rumors that are unnecessary, many times lies, things that are unnecessary and lies. Some people, I think, it just becomes a way of life. It's a habit. They start out somewhere and they begin to get attention from it. And so they have this way of life because they feel like people will listen to them, they get that attention, and they begin to be talebearers, and they get in this habit. And they don't even realize it, and they just continue to do it. Now, everybody else knows that's a problem, but they don't know it's a problem. And so it's a habit in their life, and they really don't care, even if you did tell them or they realize it, they probably wouldn't do much about it. To some people, I think it's simply their ego. Somehow, some way, it's just the kick that they get from being able to tell somebody something else. Somebody said, asked the question, what's the secret to making other people feel important? And the answer was, tell them a secret. Because every time somebody is told a secret, the person telling it and the person receiving it, usually, somehow, some way, their ego is boosted and they begin to feel important when they repeat it. It's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And God certainly says that tale-bearing is bad. What are the results of tale-bearing? Those are some of the reasons. There are many others. But what are some of the results of this sin that God recognizes and points out in His Word very clearly that is totally wrong? One of the things is that it hurts the one doing it. The person who is a talebearer, it hurts you because people, you may think they respect you, but they really do not. They may agree with you and smile at you, and they'll walk away and they'll criticize you for bearing that tale and for telling that rumor or whatever it is. They don't really respect you. You may think they do, but the honest truth is they really don't. And it's not just in church settings, it's in many other settings. But it hurts the person doing it, and it hurts them because it's a sin, and God won't bless sin. So many things that we don't admit are wrong, we think, well, that's just a way of life. Everybody does it, and it's all right. All I can tell you is the Bible says it's wrong. The Bible says it's a sin. And you can do what you want to do with it, but it's a sin. I could tell you that drinking alcohol is a sin, and you'd probably say, amen, preacher. We agree with you. And many other different things. And you would be right, but this is in the Bible. It's part of it. And tail-bearing is a sin. And therefore, it hurts the person doing it just as if you were committing some other sin. It's something that will bring a reproach or the wrath of God or at least the chastening hand of God on our lives. If we are tail-bearers, God will chastise us for doing that. And then, obviously, it's going to hurt the person that it's told on. And usually, that's the purpose behind it, if not some of these other reasons people will use tail-bearing. It takes a lifetime to build a good reputation, and sometimes it can be torn down by one tail-bearer in one day. And that's sad. I have known, not many, thank God, but I have known some preachers who have had to give up their church and resign from a long-term ministry because somebody lied on them. It was absolutely never proven, and it was something they did not do, but because somebody had it in for them, they were tail-bearers, and they caused so many problems as a result of it, they had to pay the consequences themselves. How sad it is, and what it does to a pastor or to a leader or to a family, or maybe outside of that, where you work, or somebody that has to pay the price because of that. Tail-bearing is something that God says is wrong. Now, what about being reprimanded for tail-bearing? I think that's a good thing to do. If we would just work hard on the other end of that deal, when tail-bearers come and they start, we'll stop them. And we would ask them some questions. I read about a real famous English preacher who was talking to one of his friends, and he was gossiping about another pastor friend. And this friend stopped him. And he opened his Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 13. And I invite you to turn there just a second. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And he read him these verses. He said, I want you to stop and I want to read you something. It says in verse 12 of Deuteronomy 14, if thou shalt hear say... That's a good word we use, hearsay. If thou shalt hearsay in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, the children of the devil, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their cities, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Then, if you hear it, then shalt thou inquire, make a search, ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you. And he said, I want to ask you a question. Look at this verse, verse 14. Did you inquire about it? And the person said, no. Did you make search and ask diligently? No. Did you behold if it really is the truth? And ask the questions that were actually asked here in these verses. And he had to hang his head in shame and admitted that he had not done that and that he was wrong. Before you tell something, folks, before any of us tell anything, number one, we need to find out if it's true. So many times we spread rumors. We don't check it out. And for all of these reasons, we spread those rumors and tell those tales, and we really don't even know if it's true. Number one, find out if it's true. Number two, ask yourself this question, is it kind to do this? Even if it is true, is it the Christian thing to do? Is it kind to spread gossip or to be a tale-bearer? And then ask the question, is it really necessary? And by the time we ask those three questions, if we're honest, we'll usually say, no, I don't need to say a word about it. I need to pray for the person. Get on my knees before God and let God handle the situation. Running a person down is deadly, whether you do it in a car or with your tongue. Amen? Running a person down is deadly, whether we do it with an automobile or whether we do it with our tongue or gossip. Now, the only way to cure the thing is repent and get it right with God and confess it to God and tell God we know that it's a wrong thing and just admit that it is a sinful sin, that it is wrong. God doesn't like it. God makes that so clear in His Word in the book of James and throughout different passages in the Word of God, and especially throughout Proverbs, over and over and over again. Always it is in a negative, sinful context. Don't be a talebearer. Talebearing is sort of a sign of the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were always talebearing on Him, weren't they? Look at His life. Look at what they said. They didn't have any truth about it. They accused Him of many things that He had not been doing. They accused Him of so many bad things that Jesus never did, obviously. He was sinlessly perfect. He was the impeccable one. And yet they were always lying on the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God His character remained spotless. Amen. He just kept on doing what He was supposed to be doing. And that's probably the best way to react to a talebearer. Just hold your head up high. If it's not true, just keep on going. I think I heard Dr. Lakin say one time, don't worry about it if they're lying on you. Your friends won't believe it, and your enemies will believe anything anyway. So just keep on trucking. Keep on going. Keep on doing what's right for the glory of God. If somebody is doing that, doing talebearing, as a loving, kind Christian, one of the things you can do is mention that to them in a very kind way and just suggest to them that this is not the right thing. This is unbiblical. This does not please God. And have the courage to say that. That's hard to do. Human nature wants to take it in. Human nature wants to listen to it. But what we need to do is not listen to the bad stories, but listen to the good stories. Listen to the good things. And we need to use this tongue for the right things. The right thing is to edify somebody. Build them up in the faith. The right thing is to be an encourager with the tongue. Use the tongue to encourage people. Use our tongue to tell people about Jesus Christ. To witness for the Lord. That is good, and God is pleased with that. Use our tongue to teach a class. Use our tongue to sing praises unto the Lord. Use our tongue to get on our faces before God in prayer and use it praying on behalf of others and giving Him thanksgiving, as the Bible says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Now you don't have to use your tongue. You can pray in your spirit, but many of us would pray out loud in our private time. Use your tongue to go before God on behalf of others. And rather than using it to hurt people and down people and put them down, go to God and pray on behalf of them. Say, God help them. Because you know what? None of us are perfect. We all have our faults. We all have things about us. If somebody wanted to talk about us, they probably could. They probably could find something to say, some negative thing, something faulty about it. I think we need to get back to the Bible where Paul reminds us that before we're fooling with taking splinters out of other people's eyes, that the best thing for us to do is get rid of the 2x4s that are in our eyes. That's basically what he's saying when he's talking about, in that context, the mote and so on and so forth. What he's saying is we need to get rid of that big stick sticking out of our eyeball before we go up to other people and say, let me get that terrible splinter out of your eye. It shouldn't be there. God says we need to take care of ourselves. And I've found out, I'm not saying I'm perfect with this. We all have to work at it all the time. I think sometimes that preachers can be the worst at fellowship meetings and places like that if we're not very careful. We have to be careful. Fellowships have a lot of politics in them. We have to be careful. And if we're going to approach someone, the best thing to do is to go to them. If there's a problem, if we think it's that serious, go to them and talk to them about it. And do it in Christian love. And then work it out, and God will give the honor and glory. A lot of times you'll find out. I remember Dr. John Rawlings one time We were chatting. Dr. Rollins, a great old saint of God and a preacher, and preached at Landmark Baptist Temple, ran a few thousand people there for years, planted churches all over Indiana and Kentucky and Ohio, all around that area. Dr. Rollins is a character. You'd have to know Dr. Rollins. And Dr. Rollins, if you ever get this on the internet, you know I love you. And I'm just saying it in case it goes out. You got everything you say now is going to be out on our website, and somebody can click on it and hear it. But Dr. Rollins, as I recall the story, was saying that somebody had accused one of his boys. He had three or four boys, and they had accused them of something that he knew absolutely was not true. And so when the woman came and told him about it, he went straight to the woman and said, "Where did you hear it? And do you know that it's true?" She said, "No, I just heard." "Well, who told you?" He said, "I want to know who told you." By the way, that's pretty scriptural. And so he went to that person. That person, he said, "Where did you hear it?" And that person said something about, "Well, I heard so-and-so say it." And he said, "You told her without knowing whether it was true or not?" "Well, no, I just assumed it was true." "Well, who told you?" And he went to that person. And when he got to the third or fourth person, he found out that it was somebody who was mad at him, who made up a lie and told a lie, and he faced him with a lie about his children. No wonder PKs sometimes get a little burnt out in the ministry. I can remember one time somebody came to me about my son Phil. Now, probably about half the time he was in trouble, but I always wanted to check it out. And so they came to me, and somebody told me, he said, "Your son, so-and-so, so-and-so." I said, "Where did you hear that? I cannot believe that. I don't think that's true." And so this person told me who said it. So I went to the lady, and I said, "I understand that you told someone that my son did a certain thing, and you saw him at the ball game, so on and so forth. And he was up to something that wasn't good." She said, "Well, yeah, I did." I said, "Well, now, where did you find that out?" She said, "Well, one of the kids or somebody told me that." And I said, "Well, let's go check that out." And we checked it out. And I asked everybody, "Did you see that? Was that something you saw with your own eyes or whatever?" And come to find out, somebody had just pretty well made the thing up. And he was fixing to be in a lot of trouble. But I checked it out and traced it to its source and found out there was a busybody tale bearer that was trying to cause him problems. Now, the next one, I think, was true, but I don't know about that one. But at any rate, PKs do get a lot of lies told on, and MKs too. And that's because they run around with the DKs, the deacon's kids. Amen. And that sometimes they get it a little hard too because they're deacon's kids. But I'm just telling you, folks, as sweetly as I know how, that's something that I just have a hunch that we could all work on tonight. Let's pray. We won't have an invitation tonight. We're just going to pray. Everybody stand, please. I'm not going to put you on the spot. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you. God, help us to be careful about what we say and why we say it and who we say it about. And rather than use our tongues for negativism and criticism, running down people of the church or each other or somebody in the family or somebody that's a co-worker, help us to use our tongues to pray for them, to use constructive, loving criticism if need be, and, oh God, to use our tongues for the right reasons. Help us to have sanctified tongues, not only feet and hands and eyes and ears, but sanctified tongues. And help us to remember it can be one of the greatest things in the world or one of the worst things. It's how we use it. In Jesus' name, amen.